Τι είσαι και εκλαδίνας, ε. One last part of the sugya of Kavishki Mavushal before we move on to the next sugya. So we pointed out that there are really two different halachas of Kavishki Mavushal. There's one that happens fairly quickly, and one that takes a long amount of time. And the longer amount of time is the 24 hours of the rush, the gemara about the boss of the chalav potentially being a Kavishki Mavushal issue. It's based on this that the Gedolei Acharonim now begin to discuss a shaila about this Kavishki Mavushal play out in terms of kalim. Can you trace something up based on Kavishki Mavushal? Let's say you have a tray for kli. I just cooked chaz in this kli, and now I put some cold liquid that sits in the kli for a long amount of time. Is that going to be a problem of Kavishki Mavushal is going to trafe up the liquid? So some of the early poskim said, yeah, the Yisavihata says that's a problem. That just as if you cook something in a pot, a tray for pot, so that's going to trafe up the food. So two of you soak something in a tray for pot, that's also going to be a problem. So the later Acharonim point out, Shachitaz, all of us can point out, wait a second, the timing doesn't work out exactly. Because as we pointed out, strangely enough, in a certain sense, coincidentally, the shear of Kavishkim Mavushal was 24 hours. That was a simple reading of the Gemara. And the shear of Nosa Tam of Gam, according to the way we assume Allah against Rashi, is also a 24 hours. So it's going to turn out, that let's say, just do the math. If I have a pot that's strafed, so I cooked in that pot at 3 o'clock, and then I stick some cold liquid into that pot at 3:01, so it's going to be sitting there, it's going to be sitting there. The only time that the problem is going to kick in, it's only going to register as a problem tomorrow at 3:01. By the time it registers tomorrow at 3:01, after the 24 hours of kavush are over, it's already too late, because at that point, it's already nursing time of gam. So since the two numbers are the same, and obviously you need a half a second to put the stuff in, so by definition, you're never really going to have a problem with Kavishki Mavushal in terms of trafing up liquids. That was a taina that the later Achorim had against the Yisavihetar. So there is a famous vort from Yenis and Ibershitz where he wants to defend Yisavihetar by saying that Kavishki Mavushal is not a one-time shot. It's not that when I put the liquid inside a pot, so I put the salad food soaked into a liquid, then nothing happens for 24 hours. 23 hours, 59 minutes, 59 seconds, nothing happens. All of a sudden, this clock strikes to midnight, everything turns into a pumpkin. All of a sudden, everything becomes Kavishki Mavushal in 1 second. He doesn't think that's what happened. What's happening, Kavishki Mavushal, it's an ongoing process. So it starts to become already a little bit of a tam at the beginning. We're not so worried about that tam because we may even want to invoke a principle of tam. Who remembers? Almost like a tam kolosh. I mean, that's something we remember from the Rashba days. So maybe that initial tam that's kicking in is not so important, not so significant to halacha, so we're not going to be reckoning with it. But eventually, you're going to reach a point where you have so much tam that you have to be concerned with. So comes with Yenis and Ibershitz and says that b'med divar mamurim, that nosin tam of gam is a matir. That's when there is no nosin tam of shavach in there. The whole tam that's going in is a nosin tam of gam. So let's say if I trafed up a pot and now I put it away and I cook with it a week later, so all the tam that's coming out is all of gam, so I can't ask for the food. But if I do a kovush on a trefa pot, so then 99% of the tam that's coming out is takadosin tam of shavach. The fact that the last shirayim is a nosin tam of gam, so that's not going to be matir. That's not going to help in terms of being matir. It says chiddush within those poskim. It's a questionable chiddush. Many of the Acharonim were noted to say the whole thing is not true. The whole Yisavihetar is not true. That lemaisa, it really taka was no problem. Even if you want to assume that there's really no problem with Kavishki Mavushal on kalim because of the technical quirk in terms of the timing doesn't work out, that's only true if you're going down the route of Kavishki Mavushal of bland liquids. If you're going down the route of Kavishki Mavushal of sharp liquids, so then things happen much faster, as we already said, 18 minutes, right? Whatever it is, whatever the shear of a bishul is. So then let's say I have a trefa pot, and I put chaymes, it's something which Kavishki Mavushal happens much less than 24 hours, so then taka could be a problem, and I may have a problem way, way before 24 hours pass in terms of nosin tam of gam. So it's not that we're opposed fundamentally to Kavishki Mavushal by kalim, it's just that we can't figure out the math under normal circumstances.
How do we hold in terms of what the
chakras
is in terms of tzir versus other?
Yeah, tzir, other things. I don't know. These things never happen. It's hard for me to know what. I don't think I've ever had a coverage composition. Tzir, Shiloh.
Yeah, there's a misunderstanding of the Matthew Anna Center. If it's going to go past the college, rule of the bleed is still happening because not that it was yomah, so shouldn't the person rule for the town and should be a problem?
That's what he's trying to say, that maybe it is a problem. But Matyonis is trying to defend the problem. He's trying to say that Tav is a problem.
So
the Mekilim seem to be saying that nothing happens in the first 24 hours.
Mekilim, that is what he's saying. Shani.
I think he's trying to defend the Machmirim. Yeah. I think so, no? He's done his job? I think so. Okay. So again, that was just a little bit of a shiram. Now we move on to the main topic. It's going to take us probably after Pesach as well. And that's the fundamental question that becomes raised. We touched on a little bit earlier in Basu Chalov. We spent a lot of time this last year in Masechah Shabbos, but we didn't talk about it too much this year, right? Klibish and Klishen, we were maybe passing, but we didn't really talk about it. And that's the following issue. We all know Tzenim B'Tzenim B'Adocha. We all know that you need heat in order to create Bliyos. The question is, what exactly constitutes heat for these purposes? When I speak about what constitutes heat, the real question is, how much are we looking to Tzugyas of Bishul, and how much are we ignoring Bishul? How much are we equating Bishul and Bliyos? Do we say that the definition of heat vis-a-vis Hilchos Bishul is the same definition of Hilchos Bliyos, and if it falls short in terms of being not a Bishul, then it falls short of being a Bliyos as well? Or do I say no, that the two really have nothing to do with each other? You can have Bliyos even though you don't have Bishul. Assuming that you Bliyos are absolutely necessary, assuming that Bishul is absolutely necessary for Bliyos to take place, which could be the way we possibly make it in, then it really, really behooves us to define properly what exactly Bishul is and what Bishul is not. So we have to, in a certain sense, stop living right there for a little while, go back to Cheshavas and Shin Yerches and Rechayim, where the sugyas really begin, the Cheshavas in the third paragraph of Mem, and define properly the terms of Klivishan and Klisheni and Iroy and Ragush and all the things that get thrown around in order to understand when we're going to have problems in Yerodea. So again, some of it is going to depend on Machlokesim and the Rishonim about the relationship between Bliyos and Bishul, but everybody agrees that we have to define these terms properly, because we won't be able to learn the rest of Kufay without really having a good sense of what's a Klivishan, what's a Klisheni. Just to show you how serious this discussion is, so the Shach, there's a long Shach in Kufay about what's called Klivishan, called Klisheni, Iroy, Nifsek, and the Shach says he's barely being Makatzer over here. Right? It was a fairly long shach. He's saying he's being makatz. If you really want to read what he has to say about it, look in the Shach Aruch. Anyone bother taking him up on the challenge? Okay, so you can start reading now, and you'll probably finish by next Pesach. He's got 20 pages about what is called Klivishan, not called Klivishan. He has quite, when he says he's Marech, he meant he's being Marech. So we're not going to be Marech that much, but we'll try to get the basics. So, it's in the back of the tour. It's in the back of the fancy tour that they reprinted the Shach Aruch. So the sugya begins in Masechta Shabbos Daf Mem, where the Gemara is talking about Rishon versus Klisheni vis-a-vis Bishul b'Shabbos. So we know that Bishul, of course, one of the Lamed Tes Melachos, Bishul is a big problem on Shabbos. Comes the Gemara in one fell swoop and says, Klisheni Einam Levashel, that any problems of Bishul don't apply. There's nothing to worry about. There's no Bishul whatsoever in a Klisheni. So we have no idea why that's true. We have no idea how to define that. We have no idea, is that Midaraisa, is that also Midarabanan, but Maisa, so we got to work it. So what does that phrase mean, Klisheni Mevashel? Why should there be such a thing called Klisheni Mevashel? So we have a pretty rough definition of a Klisheni, meaning that if I have a pot that's sitting on the fire, that's called a Klivishon. I take the pot off the fire, it's still called the Klivishon, but if I empty the contents into a bowl, so presumably that bowl is called the Klisheni. What the Gemara seems to be saying is, I have a bowl of fairly hot water, I put some uncooked food into that the bowl, no problem. Klisheni Mevashel, nothing to worry about, probably not Midaraisa, probably not Midarabanan, Klisheni Mevashel. So the question is, why the world should that be so? We know you take raw food and you put it into a pot, it's going to cook. You put it into a bowl of boiling water, it's also going to cook. Whatever happens in a Klirishon is most probably going to happen in a Klisheni also. So what kind of halacha is that? Klisheni Mevashel. Where in the world did that come from, Klisheni Mevashel? So this is the age-old problem. The first approach that we're going to take to understand this phenomenon of Klisheni Mevashel is to push the question back a little bit and to determine what exactly we mean when we say Klirishon is Mevashel. What exactly is a Klirishon? So I very, very quickly combined two different kinds of Klirishon in the same breath. I spoke about what we call a Klirishon Hagabi Eish, and in the same breath I said a Klirishon Shelo Hagabi Eish. When the pot is sitting on the fire, that's obviously Al Eish. When it's taken off the fire, I haven't emptied the contents yet, that's called a Klirishon Shelo Hagabi Eish. I assumed in my statement that they're both the same thing. Does a Klirishon, does a Klirishon. So there's a famous statement in Rishalmi, It's so famous that it may not exist, but there is a famous statement of the Rishami, at least the way some Achronim read the Rishami, where the Rishami says that on a level of the Araisa, that equation is not correct. That on a level of the Araisa, the only definition of Bishul that the Torah recognizes is Bishul Agabia Eish Mamish. When the fire is on, the pot sitting on the fire, and I put some raw food into that boiling pot, that's called Bishul, called Dinya Torah. The minute I turn the fire off, or the minute that I take the pot and put it onto the counter, that is no longer Bishul Deraisa. I put raw food into it, I don't care what happens to it, thus it's Nishken Bishul. Bishul min HaTorah requires an Eish to be present tachtav at the time that you're trying to be Mevashel. If that is what the Yerushalmi said, then I can begin to understand the sugyas of Klavishin and Klushen. This is not so much a Metzias question, this is a Halachic question. If you define Bishul as an Eish present at the time of Bishul, so then I understand that Klavishin, Kozman, it's on the fire, it's a problem. When it's taken off the fire, the Mishnah says Beferish, you can't put raw food into a pot off the fire, it's Beferish and Mishnah Masech Shabbos, that's only a problem in the Rabban, it's a Gezeira. If you let people put food, raw food, into a Kli Rishon Shalom Gavya Eish, next thing you know is they're going to put it onto the Kli Rishon Gavya Eish. So I understand. You can even invoke a Lashon that the Yerushalmi says, which may mean the following. Also Harchokal L'Kli Rishon, also Harchokal L'Kli Sheini. Means it makes sense to say that mid Rabbanon, you can't put raw food into a Kli Rishon Shalom Gavya Eish. To go extend that one step further and say you can't put raw food into a Kli Sheini, that's already too far removed. That's already much less of a problem. So if you're willing to accept that basic premise of the Yerushalmi, assuming the Yerushalmi says such a thing, that the definition of Bishul Deraisa is a Kli Rishon Al Ha'esh, and you're telling me that the whole institution of Kli Rishon Shelo Al Ha'esh is only a Bishul Derabanan, if this is true, so then I can understand the following. But if it's already a klisheni, then it's totally mutter. Then there's nothing to be worried about. So this would be a great way of explaining that phenomenon in the Gemara. Klisheni and a mevasha. Why? The water's boiling hot. So the Teretz is api alocha midiraisa, you need an eish. If you don't have an age, so then you only mid rabbanon. So then the chiyah gavna lo goes. There were only guys in the kli rishon shelo gavya eish. They never extended the gezeira. This would be very, very easy. This is probably the easiest of all the pshatim to explain. It's because it's easy doesn't necessarily mean it's true. It may not be true on two different levels. It may not be true because we're not even sure the Yerushalmi itself said it. And it may not be true because even if the Yerushalmi did say it, we're not so sure that the Bavli accepts it. Which of course would spell trouble in terms of psach halacha. What makes us believe that the Rishami may or may not have said it? So there are two statements in the Rishami that supported this theme, supported this theory that many, many Acharedim have. So one of the statements in the Rishami is, the Rishami does make that statement of Asu Harchoka L'Kli Rishon, V'lo Asu Harchoka L'Kli Sheini. The word Harchoka obviously sounds like a Derabonon, sounds like some siyog, some kind of a Gezeira. So it sounds like there was a Gezeira that was made for Kli Rishon, and no Gezeira was made for Kli Sheini. So many Acharonim, right? What does that mean? This category, Bishul Derabanan, Kli Rishon Gavayesh, is basically the Harchaka that Rishon was talking about. So also Harchaka L'Kli Rishon, the low also Harchaka L'Kli Sheini. That's the way many Acharonim read that Rishon. And other Acharonim say, that's not what Rishon said. Rishon wasn't even talking about this topic. Rishon was talking about a totally different topic. Everybody knows that in order to create Bishul, it's not enough just to be in a Kli Rishon, but the Kli Rishon has to be hot. How hot is hot? How hot must the water be in order to affect Bishul? Everybody knows it has to be how hot? It's going to be hot till let us know. Everybody knows that. Right? Maybe. Not all the Rishon do that, but let's assume for now that everybody knows that. That the definition of the water, the heat of the water, the intensity of the water, has to be Yatzel let us know. If the water is beneath Yatzel let us know, there should be nothing to worry about. It's not a problem with the rice, it's not a problem with the rabban. If there should be hot, then go more. So you could take raw food, throw into a pot of water that's 102 degrees less than Yatzel let us know. Nothing to worry about. So comes the Rishami and says, no, not so simple. If it's in a Kli Rishon, although min HaTorah that's okay, it's a bad idea mid Rabbanan. Why? Because generally speaking, Kli Rishon water is pretty hot. Generally speaking, Kli Sheni water is not so hot. So Asur HaChokal Kli Rishon, what the Rishami meant was, don't put raw food into a Kli Rishon, even though it's only Harchok, it's only Midirabanan. Why? Because it's not hot enough Also, achok al klivishan. Don't put uncooked food into a klivishan, even beneath yatzah lettuce, bo. But that chumah midrabanan lo also achok al klisheini. They never instituted that chumah midrabanan by klisheini. If that's the case, then the Yerushalmi is not even talking about the fundamental difference between klivishan al gabi eish lo gabi eish. The Rishami is talking about a very technical dirabana, detail should be detail, in terms of the heat intensity of the water. But in terms of the basic question, what's the difference between Klivisha and Klishan? The Rishami is not even talking about the topic. So that one phrase, also Achacha, this magic word Achacha, which many Acharonim thought was a dead giveaway to explain the Shittas Rishami, that Bishol Shalor Gabi Eish is at worst a dirabanan, according to half the Acharonim, that Rishami doesn't exist. That was the first Raya Brura Sheyesh Ala Tshuva. What was the second statement of the Rishami? Who remembers? Everyone read the Shach? Everyone read the Gro? They put the Bira Gro on the Mamakamas? Isn't that Bira Gro on the Mamakamas? Last year was on the Mamakamas? Okay, who read it last year? No one remembers from last year? Okay, there's a long, 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 long Bira Gro about this. So, didn't I put anything in the Mamakamas? Put the Shach in the Mamakamas. So didn't the Shach go to the Rishami? Nobody looked up Yerushalmi. Yeah. The machloek is how to read the Yerushalmi. Does yatzoletas mean that it's hot? Yatzoletas means that it's cold. It's all difference, right? Okay, it's a question whether it's a shin or a sin. Right? That's the basic difference. Okay. So there's another statement to Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, Ein lecha bishul, what's the lashon? Ein lecha bishul boror, elawa. So the Rishami says that you want to know what Bishul Borer is. You want to know what real Bishul is. Not a game, not a fake, not a Darabonim Bishul. You want to know what the real McCoy is. Ein lecha Bishul Borer, ela kisha eish holeches tachtav. So come, the whole group of Rachmanim, and say, aha, the Rishami is saying, l'shitasai, just as the Rishami said, according to these Acharonim, also hachok on the Kli Rishon, it means whenever it's off the fire, it's on a Darabonim. That's what it means. Ein lecha Bishul Borer. The only, what does Bishul Borer mean? Bishul Borer means deraisa. It's only called Bishul Borer kisha eish aleches tachta, but it's a clear Rishon agavi or eish. That's what these Acharonim learn pshat in that line, the Rishami. So comes the Gra and says, nah, it's not what the Bukhla, what the Rishami meant. When the Rishami says, ein lecha Bishul Borer kisha eish aleches tachta, that doesn't mean that the eish is holech tachta now. What does it mean? It means the eish at one time is holech tachta. But the Rishami is weighing in as a totally different topic. Hopefully we're going to talk about Rikas about probably maybe on Tuesday, maybe after Pesach. But the Rishami is talking about is, unlike Iroi, when liquid has come out of a Kli Rishon, so the Rishami seems to be saying Iroi is not Mevashel, conjuring up images of Rashbams and Rabbeinatams and Maiselachvam, Dachim, Masech Shabbos. Ein lecha Bishul Borer, you wonder what Bishul is? Bishul only takes place in a pot where the fire not is under, but the fire, what? What's the key word? Was in the past. According to one group of Acharonim, she'esh holech tachta means it's holech achshav tachta. According to the other group of Acharonim, the Gra says it means that esh holech tachta means at one time the fire went under it. That's called bishul borer. That could be bishul derais, even though right now the fire is off. But if this particular pot or bowl it was never on, that's what the Rishami says. Then nema ein lecha bishul borer. So at the end of the day, we have this grandiose Yerushalmi, which sounded according to half the Acharonim is saying that there's no Bishul Deraisa over here. If that would be the case, then we have a great way of understanding why Klisheni and Mevashel. The whole thing is Derabanan anyway, and they never made a Gezer by Klisheni. That would have been great, except we're not even sure that the Yerushalmi even said this. Who seems to accept the Yerushalmi? Which great Rishon seems to accept the Yerushalmi Kipshuto? The Rambam seems to accept the Yerushalmi, because in the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, when he quotes the Dinim of Bishul, so we pointed this out, I think, in the past, that last year for sure we pointed it out, when you want to know how the Rambam holds about a certain activity, whether it's a Deraisa or a Derabban, we just talk about this by Kavash Kibbushal, right? Where do you always look? You always look at placement. Where did the Rambam put the particular halacha? If he put it in the early prakim, that's indicative of its deraisa. If he sticks it into Perech HaFal and Perech HaBeis, that's usually an indication that's only midrabanan. So the Rambam stuck in the dinim of Bishul in a Kli Rishon and Shalom Rabbi Yoesh, the Rambam stuck it in the end, the Perech HaFal and Perech HaBeis. So that led some poskim to say, the Rambam sounds like he's following the Ikvas Yisri Shalmi. That's the HaShulchan. HaShulchan writes that from the simple reading of the Rambam, it sounds like not only did the Rambam learn the Yerushalmi this way, but the Rambam sounds like he actually paskins like Yerushalmi as well. But notwithstanding, even those who want to argue Yerushalmi said this, the highly questionable Yerushalmi, we are not at all sure that we follow this Rishami. So the Ran in Masechah Shabbos quotes this Rishami and says that the Ran learned the Rishami this way. He learned like Yizachronim who learned the cooler version of the Rishami. But the Ran says it's not going to help us too much because he doesn't think that the Bavli accepts it. He thinks the Bavli disagrees with this Rishami. Where's the Bavli? Who Bavli? Where's the Bavli talk about this topic? So the Ran doesn't commit to exactly which Bavli he's talking about, but there seem to be at least two statements in the Bavli that seem to disagree with this supposed Rishami. Even on its side, if Rishami meant what it said, there are two statements in the Bavli that almost clearly contradict it. One of them is the Sugi Masechah Shabbos, and one is a little bit closer at home in terms of Masechah Chulin. Who remembers from last year? What's the Sugi Masechah Shabbos? What? In the Sugi of Kali HaBishol, which again, we can talk about, we're going to talk about it very soon, Kali HaBishol are those kinds of foods that are very, very easily cooked. So the Mishnah says, in the end of Masechah Shabbos, if you take a food that's very, very easily cooked, the very small pieces of fish, the very, very light, very, you know, soft kinds of foods, and you cook them, you try to cook them, even in a klisheni, so the Mishnah says that's a problem. That's a big problem on Shabbos. The simple reading of the Bavli is, it's a really big problem. It's a big problem to the extent that it's an Issa Deraisa. And the simple reading of the Bavli is, it's an Issa Deraisa in terms of Bishol. I said, wait a second. How can that be a Deraisa in terms of Bishol? If you're telling me there's some kind of a halachic consideration called Klivishon Agabi Reish, Bishol cannot take place in a Torah unless there's a fire present, why should that depend on the type of food? So that whole Bavli, the whole way the Bavli presents the Din of Kali HaBishol, the Din of Kali HaBishol is a Mishnah, but the way the Bavli interprets Kali HaBishol to be the real bona fide Issa Deraisa B'tam Bishol, that seems to be disagreeing with this theme of Ein Lecha Bishol Borer. According to the Rishalmi, according to the cooler version of the Rishalmi, Ein Lecha Bishol Borer, Ela Be'esh Melech Tachtav, what do you mean? It's not true. It's not an absolute statement. Sometimes it changes. So Kali HaBishol, the Bavli's portrayal of Kali HaBishol seems to contradict that grandiose scheme of the Rishalmi, that grandiose kula of Ein Lecha Bishol Borer, Ela Be'esh Melech Tachtav. That's one mocha that the Ran may have been referring to. What's the other mocha? A little bit closer to home. What other Gemara seems to speak about a real Bishol taking place, even if Shalog Avirhesh? By the Sugi, the beginning of Perkel HaBosar. Remember, the Gemara was working very, very hard to try to find Bas B'chol of Deraisa. Why are we so worried about Bas B'chol of Deraisa? Because we were trying to explain away why you're not allowed to have meat and cheese on the same table. So at one stage, the Gemara thought that unless you have some kind of potential Deraisa here, there's no reason for Chazal to make a gezeira, and goes in gezeira l'gezeira. So the Gemara was working really, really hard. So the Gemara says, where's the deraisa? So first the Gemara attempted to discuss the Basar Behemoth versus Basar Oph. And then even if you hold that we're dealing with deraisa, even if you hold Basar Oph is deraisa, you're almost never going to have Bas B'chol deraisa at the table. Why? It's going to be cold. Or it's going to be klisheini. And finally the Gemara says, no, hachem ha'askina, and it's klirishon. So what do you have? So you have one guy eating cholent out of the pot, another guy eating his macaroni and cheese out of the pot. Oh, there's a potential shayla of a bishul bas b'chol of deraisa. Maybe that's derech bishul. So come all the achrayim and say that's derech bishul. Where's the fire? There's no flame. Even though you see from here, you don't really need a flame as long as it's a klirishon. So you have a deraisa on your hands. So that seems to contradict the Yerushalmi, unless one's willing to give a very dochik pshat. We quote this prima gadol back in bas b'chol of. Hakam Askinan, who remembers the fancy restaurants, right? If the guy's coming with the sterno, with the steam, the guy's not a shivish guy eating out of a cholent pot. He's a guy who's eating in a fancy, elegant restaurant. He's eating his chai beef, Chinese beef and something, with the fire coming up. And the other guy's having his fancy, fancy lasagna or something with the fire underneath. Oh, there's a that's the potential deraisa of Bas B'chol. So I call upon him, we don't have a raya brura from the Gemara against the Yerushalmi, but we have indications from the Bavli that probably we're not going to go down the route of the Yerushalmi. So since we're not so convinced that the Yerushalmi said it, and even if it said it, we're not so convinced that we're going to follow this Yerushalmi, this is probably not the route we want to go. We probably want to come up with some other reason to explain why Klirishon is a problem and some Klishen in Mavashon. Again, this is all background, because eventually we're going to come back to Yerodea, but unless we understand the Din of Shabbos, then we have nothing to talk about in terms of Yerodea. So the first route of the Yerushalmi is a possibility, but highly questionable. You can at least call it a fake. Maybe Yerushalmi said it, maybe it didn't even say it, maybe we don't possibly like it. Any other ideas? So comes Taisus, the famous Taisus in Shabbos, Daf Mem, where Taisus says, the answer is very simple. Taisus presents the obvious dilemma and then comes up with the famous solution. Taisus says, how can you tell me Klirishon is a problem, Klishen is not a problem? M'monoshach. How hot is the food? How hot are the contents of the pot? If it's boiling hot, it's more than the answer, let us blow, it should be a problem all the time. If it's not yatzal lettuce bow, then it should never be a problem. It's quite possible that a klisheni may actually be hotter than a kli rishon. Very simple. You have two pots sitting on the fire. One reached 190 degrees, one reached 170 degrees. You pour the contents out of the 190 pot into a bowl, so now it's 180. So I have two things in front of me. I have a pot that's 170, and I have a bowl that's 180. So the din is klisheni and mevashri. If you take raw food, take the tea bag, and put it into the 180-degree bowl, and 180-degree cup, and everything's great. You put it into the 170-degree pot, and you chayef skila. So it doesn't make any sense. So Tari says, no, it makes a lot of sense. Because part of Bishol is not just important for heat of the water. What's important is the direction that you're going. Maybe a Kli Rishon is still hot, and it's retaining its heat to a certain degree, because it has the famous Tefanos, what? Mechammois. The walls of the pot are hot because they were on the fire. That's the definition of Kli Rishon. It was once on the fire. A bowl, it may be very hot right now, but it's 1 foot out the door. It's already out. It's ready on the way of cooling down. It's what's called the funnels, the karos. And says Taisus, that distinction between the funnels, the chamos, versus the funnels, the karos, that makes all the difference in the world. Who remembers the throwback to Bas Mecholov? Which great Acharon developed the whole principle based on this Taisus? About something that may limit Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. Who remembers? What may not be included in Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni because of this Svara? Davar, did we talk about Davar Gush? We never spoke about Davar Gush this year. We never mentioned Davar Gush. We mentioned it. What did we say about it? We said that, no, Marshal. Didn't we talk about the Marshal? So we said, some Acharonim have this Chumrah that a Davar Gush, a hot potato, is always a Kli Rishon. Why? Because it doesn't have the Funas Makaros. The whole idea of the Funas Makaros only makes sense by liquids, because liquids take the shape of the container. So since the Funas Makaros is not applicable by a hot potato, hot piece of meat, hot piece of fish, so it's automatically considered to be a Kli Rishon, the Olam Bod, until it actually cools down. Can we even talk about what was the raya? What was the mocha for that? No. Didn't we talk about by not by not? We didn't mention this. Maybe I don't want to ruin it for now. Dagam shalom bekara? No. Tafagush? No. Okay, so we got to work it out for us. Okay, later on we'll talk about it. So, again, getting back to the story. So, Taisin Shabbos Daf Mem says that the real difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni, not like the Rishalmi. The real difference is the funas mechamos in contrast to the funas mekaros. The mechilas kovet of Tosfos, we never found in Shas that should really play a factor in terms of the definition of Bishul. So it's really a finish that Tosfos is saying. Could we come up with another approach, another possibility to explain away why Kli Sheni Eidim Avashel? For those who learned Masechah Shabbos will remember there's a term in Masechah Shabbos that always comes back to help us. Namely, it has to be normal. Hilchos Shabbos is given for normal people. Everything has to be kederach. If you write with your left hand, you potter, you carry, and you put something under your hat, you potter. Every time you do a malach in a funny, strange way, you automatically potter. What's the normal way to cook, Rabbi Isai? People cook in Kli Rishon. People generally don't cook in Kli Shenis. If I take rough food and I want to cook it up, the last thing I'm going to do is going to put it into a Kli Sheni. So maybe when the Gemara says Kli Sheni in a Mavashel, the Gemara is not telling us anything grandiose like Yerushalmi about a deraisa of Bishul. And the Gemara is not telling us anything grandiose like Taisus, Tefanos Bechamos, and Tefanos Bekaros. All the Gemara is saying is very, very simple calculation. When you do things in a normal way in a Kli Rishon, it's deraisa. When you do things in an abnormal way in a Kli Sheni, then it's only midrabbanan. That's all there is, there ain't no more. That's the aside of Kli Sheni in a Mavashel. It's nothing new, nothing grandiose about Bishul. It's just a way of expressing what's normal and what is abnormal. So Rabbi Isai, let's figure out. Let's see which of these biurim is correct. So we know there's a difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni and Hilchos Bishul. According to many poskim, probably the way we pass in Mikra Din, we're going to fall back on this distinction, even in Hilchos Bliyos. This is going to become critical for us in terms of Yerodea as well. You have to really make sure we understand the distinction properly. So distinction number one is the Yerushalmi, Bishul D'Araisa, it's only Agabi Oish. Second distinction is Tosfos, Tefanos, Mekaros. And the third is, somebody, we're going to call a lot, Derech Bishul. Who remembers where he saw it in print last year? Yeah, Shimon Ida claims that people said it. We talked about this last year, right? We presented Shimon Ida in one of his footnotes. He claims that this is what the group of Achrayim was saying. Okay? And I'm not sure. Some, I think some wanted to stick it in places. Also, we couldn't pinpoint any particular person who said it, but we'll leave it as a question mark. Okay? It's a derech bishul. Third possibility. No, it's a mechriya. Bring me a raya. Everyone has to explain to me what sugya. The sugya of what? Of kali habishul. Perish mishul. This is the perish that if you cook kali habishul, so that's a problem on Shabbos. Perish mishul, that's a problem on Shabbos. Not only is it a perish mishul, that's a problem on Shabbos. The Farish and Gemara, at least in the Bavli, in the third parak, that your mamish chayev on Shabbos. Not enough just to, I'm sorry, not enough to say that it's also mamish chayev. It's mamish nisadirais on Shabbos. So how do you explain away that phenomenon? How could that be so? How can we say with a straight face that you're chayev in the rais of a cooking on Shabbos, kali abishal, even in a cliche? Let's go through the math. According to the Rishalmi, that was what we said to Ron, that may have been one of the rais that Ron was thinking about without committing to. According to Rishalmi, how can you be chayev? Based on what exactly are you going to be chayev? Based on who? Based on where? What are you going to be chayev for, according to Rishalmi? So the answer is what? According to Rishalmi, you're probably not what? The Dekha probably not chayev. According to Rishalmi, you're probably not chayev. The Mishnah says it's also. Mishnah never says chayev. Mishnah says it's also. It's the Bavli that says chayev. So just, you can't ask a kash, it's not fair, it's a kash on Rishalmi from the Bavli. So yes, there's a Mishnah that says it's also. Yerushalmi has to answer up for every Mishnah, but Yerushalmi doesn't have to answer up for every Bavli. So it could be that in Rechanami, you're not going to be Chayim. If we don't want to make such a grandiose machloikas in the Bavli and Yerushalmi, we could still save the Yerushalmi. We could have a cake and eat it. We could say Yechayev, and we could say the Yerushalmi is correct. What do we have to do? We have to change, not the word Chayev, but we have to change what Malacha? It's not Bishul anymore. Maybe we're not even talking about Bishul. What other possible malacha we be talking about? So you got to go through the list, the 38 other malachas. Which one is it? So some achronim say we're talking about the wrong sugya. Some achronim say we're really talking about gedolei achronim, right? That maybe it's talking about malachas what? Macha v'patish. Why would anybody in a million years think that this malachas macha v'patish? Because what's the lashon Gemara? The Gemara says gemar malachton. The Gemara says the words gemar malachton. So Rashi on the spot says Bishul, and the Rambam says Bishul. But in the notwithstanding what the Gedolei HaRishonim say, that the Lashon HaGemara is Gemar Malachton, which usually conjures up a very, very different Malacha. Rashi and the Rambam obviously learning that Gemar Malachton just means you finish Bishul. Don't think that what you did is not enough. You finish Bishul, and therefore the Chiv is Bishul. But the Gedolei HaRishonim, the Lavush, and all this Chayon, the whole Bukhub HaRishonim have this idea that it's Gemar Malachton, it's Machmat Patish, it's nothing to do with Bishul. That's great for us. It means it's great for us that it defends Yerushalmi and makes the whole sugya of Kalei Bishul irrelevant in terms of any discussion of Bishul. It's going to basically take Kalei Bishul and throw it out of your day. On your day, you're allowed to do Machmat Patish. So it's going to take everything out of, make the whole sugya of Kalei Bishul irrelevant. Who's the biggest bar plukta, the biggest attack against those Acharonim? Who is it? Who remembers from last year? Who's the one who was relentless in the attack against those Acharonim? Who remembers? Who is the Paisik who says it's not Shaykh to say such a thing? It's Chayim Shemach Patish. It's Be'alocha. Remember? And so much time. It's Be'alocha. Last year says that it's wrong. It's Mamish not true. He quotes Rashi, quotes the Rambam. Says the Be'alocha, Lo Shamanu Davazeme Oilam that Malechas Mach Patish should be Shaykh by Echlim. We hold Malacha, there's Mach Patish on Kalim. Never heard of such a thing, says the Be'alocha. All of 157 Blad Masech Shabbos, never heard of such a thing. Called Machla Patish on Oichlin. And therefore, when the Gemara says Yechayev, it means Yechayev official, and therefore the Yushami shall like Yalocha, and the whole thing is wrong. Yalocha, it's hard to argue with it. When the Be'alocha gets Mamish convinced, it's hard to argue. Except who remembers the Ha'orah that we made in the Be'alocha last year? Who remembers? It's not, he's right. It's 157 Blad in Shabbos, it's not. But there are 40 Blad in Beitza. And there is one Gemara in Beitza, it sounds a little bit, there is Machmat Patish in Eichlin. Where's the Gemara? Second parak of Beitza, who remembers? The Gemara says, Mishnah says, you're not allowed to take off Trumas and Maisis on Shabbos and Yontif. Why? It's a Gezeira de Rabbanon of a Mechzei what? Mechzei Kemesakin. It looks like you're fixing. The food is treif, and now you're taking off Trumas and Maisis, so you're fixing the broken food. So we said, it's only Mechzei Kemesakin, it's not Mesakin Mamish. Why? Who remembers? No. Famous Mechaz Chinuch, because what? Because it's only halachic tikkun, it's not a physical tikkun. It's only halachic tikkun, halachic tikkun, we're only midrabanan. but it's still Chashmid Rabbanan. So Chazal and Misakin don't separate Tumas and Maisis on Shabbos and Yontif. A Gezeira, because it looks like you're fixing a chair. If you tell me that there's no Makhlut Patash B'chlal by Reichlin, that's a Gezeira. Don't fix your apple because it looks like you're fixing a chair. Like each other. But if you tell me that there's a deraisa potentially on fixing food, so you have to plug in, when would that be? When would you have a Makhlut Patash in Ochlin? But it exists. There's a concept called Makhlut Patash deraisa in Ochlin. So then I understand why don't do a Makhlut Patash derabanan, because it's Mexican like a Makhlut Patash deraisa. But if you hold it, there's no Makhlut Patash b'chla by Ochlin, what's that derabanan? What are you making a derabanan for? Or to what? Or to fixing your chair? What does it have anything to do with each other? So we had this, or we left this hanging last year in Ruch Shabbos on the Bir Halacha. So Lamaisa, if you want to save the Yerushalmi, you want to make Yerushalmi be Chayav, you don't want to just relegate it to a Nisa Derabanan, and you want to dig up a new Issa Deraisa called Makhlut Patash, so you're just taking the Bir Halacha on, but maybe you have what to stand on. According to Tosfos, do we understand the distinction between Kalei Bishul versus not Kalei Bishul? According to Tosfos, there's no absolute halachic statement that Bishul can't take effect without a fire. There's no such statement. There's no Eiluch HaBishul Boror. It's just that you need the Funas Mechamimos to affect Bishul when a normal foods. You can't take a raw potato and think you're going to pull off a Bishul if you have the Funas Mechamimos. You can't take a raw egg and think you're going to pull off Bishul with the Funas Mechamimos. But in theory, it's going to depend on food by food. So there may be some foods out there which may be able to pull off the stunt of being this bashlu even without that criteria of the Faras Mechamos. The Faras Mechamos is not a halachic criteria. The Faras Mechamos is defined in the kitchen. You ask your wife, and your wife tells you, it's not going to work. Bishul won't happen without the Faras Mechamos 99% of the time. But every once in a while, it will work. So according to Tosfos, we can have the definition of the Faras Mechamos versus Makaros, and we could still explain away why the Mishnah B'Gemara Shama says, Yechai Mishum Bishul on Kalei HaBishul. So we've salvaged Kalei HaBishul. According to Rishamri, we had to work hard to save Kalei HaBishul. We had to dig up Makhlut Patash. According to Tyson, it's not so bad. And Kalei HaBishul, it can happen even with the Funos, the Karos. Who's the easiest to explain the Kalei HaBishul scenario? Who makes the most sense to explain Kalei HaBishul? The sheet that we couldn't put our fingers on, right? The Derech Bishul. Derech Bishul is a cinch. Why? Derech Bishul means there's no halacha going on here. There's no halachic consideration of fire. Everything depends on whatever's the normal. If it's normal to cook, then you chayv. If it's not normal to cook, then you potter. Is it normal to cook a potato in a klisheni? What's the answer? No. Is it normal to cook an egg in a klisheni? No. Is it normal to cook tea in a klisheni? Is it normal to cook Kalei HaBishul in a klisheni? What's the answer? Very normal. These are things that so easily cook. Why should I bother putting up a pot of fire? I have a pot of water in the fire. I'll just take some water and pour it into a cup and throw my Kalei HaBishul in. It's going to get the job done. Nobody's going to look at you crazy. You try to take a piece of a raw potato and throw it into a klisheni, everyone's going to say the guy's a mishugana. You throw your Kalei HaBishul into a klisheni, no one thinks you're mishugana. You're normal. So Kalei HaBishul makes a lot of sense in a klisheni, because this is Derech Bishul. So at the end of the day, everybody's got to explain Kalei HaBishul. You can't ignore Kalei HaBishul. Either you have to explain the Kalei HaBishul is chayav for a lagamri, a different halacha, and take on the Bir Halacha. Or you have to say Kalei HaBishul, things change depending on the Funas Mechamos, the Kairos will affect certain foods and not affect other foods. Or you just hide behind Derech HaBishul and everything is great. You must accept the idea of Kalei HaBishul. Because the Funas Mechamos and Makaros, I don't think is an absolute halachic statement like the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi, according to those Acharonim, who say, Ein lecha bishul borer, ela be'esh aleches tachtav. That means, part of the Torah definition of bishul means presence of a fire. When there's no fire, there's no bishul. So if there's no bishul on other foods, there's no bishul on Kalei HaBishul either. Once you say the Funas Mechamos, Karos, that's not a halachic statement called esh. That's, you ask the experts in the kitchen, will the food cook or not? So the answer is, regular food won't, Kalei HaBishul will. Bishul B'chama?
Yeah.
So that those two sugars may be related. That was last year's stuff.
Tosfos Shita and his third sheet are very close to each other.
Some Achronim claim that the third sheet is Tosfos Shita. We just present it as two separate. Not convinced that they're the same. They end up the same, Lamais and Kalei HaBishul.
The Chazon Ish completely rejects the Bishul chat, because he says that you
Right, that, no, took the next words out of my mouth. Right, that's exactly what I'm coming to. So Kali Abishal makes a tremendous appearance in Ulcha Shabbos. It's a Mishnah and a Gemara and it's Chayav and a disaster in Ulcha Shabbos. But if you just read the Mishnah and Masech Shabbos, you walk away with the impression that there's almost nothing that's Kali Abishal. 99% of food is not Kali Abishal, and every once in a while you run through Kali Abishal. Came along the Helig Sefi Arayim, let's be mitzvah, Tam Rabbeinu Tam, and turned the tables on us. What did the Sefi Arayim say? Who remembers? Last year, Sefi Arayim. Famous Shita. What's this famous Shita? You're not allowed to do what? What are you not allowed to put into your soup? Can't put your bread into your soup. Why? Because Yesh Bishal Achar Afiya, and everything is a Suffolk Kali Abishal, and it's a cliche, and everything is awesome. Right? It's past Friday night, so one of my nephews asked me, so tell me, are you allowed to put bread into the soup or not? I said, wow, what a loaded question. So I said, if we talk about it long enough, it's for sure going to be mutter because the soup's going to get cold. But until then, I said, Yesh Amilis Mach. Some post to my maker. That's where you left on. Sefi Reim says, you may be Chayv Chatas. The other Rishem said, it's mutter l'chachila. And the Tzir of the ladles and Klishlishi. And we spoke about it for reasons last year. So Kali Abishal makes a grand appearance in Ulcha Shabbos, and Sefi Reya made a really, really grand appearance out of it by telling you that everything is a Suffolk Kali Abishal, and therefore nothing is permitted to be cooked in a Klisheini. So comes the Chazon Ish and says, wait a second, in our Chayim, so we find everyone tumbling about the Sefi Reya, we never heard in your day any mention of the Sefi Reya. Nobody ever told us in Siman Kufay that any coolers you have in Klisheini, everything falls by the wayside. We need the sugars of Kali Abishal. What do we make of that reality? What do we make of that phenomena that in Siman Kufay, no mention is made of everything under the sun being Kali Abishal? So what does the Chazon Ish say in one fell swoop? How's your line? What does he say? You see from here that the whole Kali Abishal, what? The whole thing is not, the whole Sefi Reim is a Chumah B'Yalma, that there are only two or three things out there that are Kali Abishal. There are Kliyas Ispinins and Maliach HaYosh. Everything else is not really Kali Abishal. And therefore, it's a Chumah B'Yalma, it's a Skila, but in Hilchos Taroivus, Hilchos Blias, nobody ever really was Chayshish for anything. That was the Chazon Ish. So others say that, oh, that Kali Abishal is not relevant in Hilchos Blias, B'chlal. Kali Abishal is a Bishal Dikadin. It's not relevant to Blias. Blias, if you hold that Blias need a Kli Rishon, then they need a real Kli Rishon. Kali Abishal is not going to change anything in terms of Hilchos Blias. We're going to come back a little bit more. We flesh out a little bit. The similarities and differences between Blias and Bishal, which is really the main thing. This is all the introduction. We learned the Sechah Shabbos now, just eventually get to your desk, and we'll come back to this much like the Chazon Ish on this. But I hope, in terms of the background to our sugya, so we definitely have some kind of a distinction between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni and Hilchos Shabbos. That's for sure. So Gemara, Kli Sheni and Mevashel. What that's based on, where it's coming from, so that's going to make all the difference in Hilchos Shabbos. How much of this is really going to be relevant in terms of Yerodeya? So we really have to tackle the next major question is, do the standards of Bishul and Shabbos really carry over to Yerodeya or not? Because in Yerodeya, for the most part, we're not discussing Bishul. And maybe in the sugars of Bas B'cholov, we were focusing on Bishul. But now we're out of Bas B'cholov Derai. So we're talking Hukas Tarovis. So we want to know, a little bit of Chazer gets mixed up into my bowl. So is that a problem? It's very, very hot, but it's a Klisheini. Does the fact that something is a Klisheini impact the sugars of Yerodeya? Highly questionable. So now that we have a little bit of a background to Shabbos on Tuesday, we'll try to see what the spillover to Yerodeya is all about. And once we see that there is a certain degree of spillover, then we're going to have to go back and redefine a little bit more what exactly Kli Rishon is. We still don't know, even if it's important, Kli Rishon is Kli Sheni, we don't know some big, big questions about Rishon and Kli Sheni. We don't know where Eroi fits into the picture. We don't know where Dava Gush, big chunks of food fit into the picture. We don't know about multiple levels of Eroi, different kinds of Eroi. We don't know where Kli Shlishi plays a role. So we have a lot of work to do, assuming there is some kind of a spillover from Hilchos Shabbos to Yerodeya. Hopefully that's on Tuesday. We'll try to continue this a little bit. Okay, how's the middle now? What time is your early spin for it, right? I think we'll get to it.